Well, good morning. I can hardly believe this will be the last message that I'll be preaching during this year. And it's been good just to be able to share with you in this sort of format. And I trust that it's been a blessing to you as well. As we come towards the end of the year, obviously our focus is on Christmas. And for many, the story of Christmas is just about gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon this little child. But I wonder if we realize that as we think of that little child, friends, we need to remember Jesus didn't come as a little baby. Yes, he came as a little baby. But friends, he came to turn the world upside down. That's why Jesus came. Let's have a word of prayer before we read the scripture for today. Lord, I just thank you that you have come to earth. You've made such a massive difference in this world in which you have been a part of. And help us, Lord, to learn from you and to continue the work that you began, so that this world may be turned upside down for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, I've called my message today, The Revolutionary Work of Jesus. Well, I know you're saying, well, that's a bit. And I've taken it out from a passage that you would not think it comes out of. It comes out of the passage known as the Song of Mary. It's found in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. It says this, "And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in the innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Friends, this is a revolutionary message. This is a message of a God who turns up things upside down. And I want to just focus on the areas that Jesus turned upside down. Well, first of all, he restored the honor of woman, as he did in the case of Mary. Mary says, "My soul glorifies God, and my spirit rejoices, for it has been mindful of my humble state. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Now, friends, I won't go as far as the Catholic Church would in wanting to venerate Mary into a position I don't think the scriptures truly, honestly give her. Yet, I want us to recognize what Christ has done for women. In the account of the fall of mankind to sin, recorded in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, we read the following. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat any tree from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God Almighty among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I am here in your garden. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between you and your offspring. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. Your pain you will give in birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that was I commanded you not to, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Friend, in this song of Mary, we see the wonderful image of the beginnings of the restoration of what women lost in the fall. In the account of the fall in Genesis, God addresses Satan first. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Then he condemns the actions of Eve by greatly increasing her pains in childbearing and childbirth, as well as subjecting her to the authority of the husband. But now, friends, God becomes her salvation. Mary says in verse 47, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She was no longer dependent upon her husband. Friend, God became her salvation. Not only does he become her salvation, he becomes her restorer. Mary says in verse 48, "He was mindful of the humble of his state. For from now on he will call me blessed." You see, up until now, she was cursed. Cursed with the actions of what happened in the fall, friends. But from now on, she'll be called blessed. Friends, Jesus is revolutionary in how he deals with women. All through the ministry of Jesus, he elevated the position of women. Now, while I know he did not choose any of them to be part of his disciples, we should never forget, friends, the vital role women played all through his life and ministry. They were saved and healed just like the men were. They were taught equally. If you think of Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, they ministered to Jesus at his death, when his disciples weren't there. And friends, most importantly, the first person to carry the message of the resurrection, friends, was a woman. Friends, Jesus was revolutionary in the way he dealt with women. The Apostle Paul understood that. He conveys in his great teaching book of Galatians, you are all sons of God. Remember I told you the other day when it talks about sons of God, it's not talking about sexuality, it's talking about position. You're all those who are the firstborn of God. You're all the firstborn of God through faith in Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, he says, there is neither Greek nor Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Friends, Jesus and Christianity has done more to lift the status of women than any other religion or system that ever existed. Although, in some circles, it may not have done that. Friends, Jesus is revolutionary in the way that he deals and restores women. Secondly, Jesus, friends, is revolutionary in the re-establishment of the Abrahamic covenant. Listen to what it says in verse 15. His mercy extends to all who fear him from generation to generation. What is Mary's really reminding us of, friends, is the promise that all will be saved through Christ. When God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, friends, his intention was that all nations on earth would be reached. Listen to what it says in verse 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. Sure, that was the Jewish nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. True. I will bless those who curse you, and curse those, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So, friends, when Mary says he extends to those who fear him from, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation, she is reminding us of the Abrahamic covenant, friends. One of the failings of the nation of Israel, friends, was that they didn't influence the nations around them. In reality, the nations around them negatively influenced the nation of Israel. Friends, the Jews had got a little bit of a big head. They thought that salvation was for them and them alone. But friends, Jesus comes to remind them that he has come to turn all religious systems on his head. He even prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. I'm not talking about the occasion when he spoke about it being destroyed in his own body, being destroyed and being restored in 3 days. I'm talking about the one in Mark chapter 13, where it says this, as he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teacher, look, these what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Jesus said, do you see the stones of these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on one another. Every one will be thrown down. Friend, Jesus hasn't come to save Jews. He's come to save all, including to the Jews. God wants everybody to know him. And Jesus has come to re-establish, as the revolutionary, to re-establish the Abrahamic covenant. Listen to what he said as he left this earth. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. Friends, that's revolutionary teaching. The Jews thought faith and redemption was for them alone. Jesus comes to tell us, no, it's for everybody. Anybody who would fear God, who would put their trust in Him, will be saved. The third revolutionary act of Jesus, friends, is the removal of the evil one, or the destruction of the evil one. Look what he says in verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. Friends, Jesus has come to destroy the very essence of sin. And the very essence of sin is pride. The thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven, and the thing that is at the very heart of sin, friend, is pride. I'm not talking about sins like murder and adultery and all those sort of things. Those are sins. What is at the heart of sin is pride. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, we have a prophecy against the king of Tyre. The Lord is talking about the king of Tyre, but many scholars have said this is actually a prophecy about Satan. So in verse 1 of Ezekiel, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you're a man. You're not a god. Though you think of yourselves as wise as a god. But then in verse 11, the prophecy starts to sound very different. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On that day you were created, they were repaired. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained, you were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways for the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Verse 17. Your heart became so proud on the account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to earth. I made you a spectacle for all kings. By your many sins and dishonest trades, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out of you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all you were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Friend, Jesus records the beginning of the fall of Satan when he sends out the 72 for the first time to witness about him. When they come back from witnessing, we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, Even the demons submit to your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Friends, Jesus has come as the revolutionary. He's overthrown the power of the evil one, and we don't need to be surrendered to the evil one anymore. Fourthly, Jesus has come as the revolutionary. He brings a revolution in the social structure. Look what he says. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Friends, I just want to say one thing. We must never forget God puts people in power and takes them out of power. I only have one little illustration. Who would have ever predicted what happened to the ANC in the last election in 1994? Could you have ever thought, those of us who were alive in 1994, that the ANC would fall below 50% vote in our country? Friend, God puts people in power and takes them out of power. At one stage, the apartheid government looked like they would be there forever, and they were taken out of power. At one stage, the ANC government looked like they would rule for eternity. And now what's happening? At one stage, the Beatles said they're more popular than God, but now they're just a bunch of grumpy old men. Friends, Jesus has brought a revolution in the social structure. He has lifted the humble and brought down the rulers. Finally, Jesus has brought a revolution when it comes to poor people. Because, friends, he has redeemed the poor. Look what he says in verse 53. Mary says in 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Friends, the gospel is for poor people. Jesus said it, not me. Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 4 as he begins his ministry. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And in Matthew chapter 5, in the great teaching passage of Jesus, friends, in a passage we know as the Beatitudes, it says this, he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Friends, Jesus is a revolutionary. He is a revolutionary in the best sense of the word. He has raised, friends, the status of woman. He has re-established the Abrahamic covenant. Salvation is for all. He has removed the evil one from power. He has brought a revolution in the social structure. The humble are lifted up, and he has redeemed the poor. Those who are willing, friends, to become nothing, so that he may be lifted up. Friends, Jesus' life has made a difference. Many years ago, someone wrote a very famous essay about the impact of Jesus. The essay is called One Solitary Life. It goes like this. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled more than 320 kilometers from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 20 long centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon the earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Jesus, friends, comes as a revolutionary. Will you allow him to change your life? Will you take up the baton from him and become an agent of change yourself? Friend, Jesus was a revolutionary. Why don't you become one too? Let's pray. Lord, change our hearts. Set our hearts on fire for you. Give us the desire and the capacity to change this world for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Friends, Christmas is a great opportunity to make a difference. Many kind of know more or less why Christmas is here. They know it's about the birth of Christ. They may have filled it with other lot of nonsense. But why don't you redeem it? Use Christmas as your entrance to tell others about Christ. Be the revolutionary that Jesus was. Lord bless.